Dear brothers and sisters, the subject before us today is way to love. There are hundreds of books have been written on love. But actually what love is not been described. Do you know what love is? Can you put in words? No?
In the heart,
it can be described in words, I mean. The subject is very delicate. Even then everybody knows what love is. It cannot be expressed in words. So as the scriptures say, love is innate in our souls. Because God is love, and we are of the same essence as that of God. So naturally, we are a drop of the ocean of all love, and it is innate in our own soul, and the same enough it is that the way back to God is also love. Whatever we do, any worship or anything, a remembrance of God, what is the purpose that is behind? We should develop love for God. Love is something dragging of the heart. It can be come somewhere. It is such He who loves us. Our love is only reciprocal. Child is born. Mother loves the child. Carries in her, isn't it? And then the child begins to love mother. Is it not so? So until the whom we love, he does not love us. How can you love him? So that's why I submitted that it is a very delicate subject. Though everybody knows, feels, is that for someone here or hereafter, you see, whom he has seen or whom he has not seen, in both cases, he feels, but he cannot describe. So all masters who came in the past, who have become so far, they bring the religion of love. They don't bring any new religion. They come to give love to the world, I say now. Because God is manifest in them. In us also God is there, but not manifested yet. That power is the controlling power within us. So, masters, they are wordless, word made flesh. So they are overflowing with the love of God, and wherever they go, they radiate love. So, it is He who guides us to Him. This is what they said of Christ. It is He who loves us. Our love is only the people. So all masters who have been coming so far have first thing they say there is God, and next step they say that God is love. We want to meet God. What is the way back to God? Which is through love. All practices, all other outward performances, penances, sweet memories, etc. All are done with a view to develop love for Him. So two things are there. The one who comes, he gives us love, and we also reciprocate. So master come, they give us love. They radiate with love, they wrote with love, and always advise that love is within you. You can have infection of love from the one who is overflowing with love. So what is the way back to love? That how to have it? That's the point of teaching. Guru Amar Das tells us, in man body alone we can know God, and also love God. How can we love God when we have not seen Him? When I have seen somebody, enjoyed His presence, enjoyed His company, only then love it comes up within us. It is there, it is a good boost. And what they do, they give love by radiation. So Guru Amar Das tells us that if, as you got a man body and you have not got love for God, then it is, you are not derived the full benefit of the man body. It cannot be, you see, had from the shops outside. It cannot be grown in fields. It is within you, of course, but it is got boost by someone who is overflowing with love. What they say, as I told you, they are world made flesh. They are God in man, man in God. So they are love personified, and they radiate love. Their worlds are charged with love. So they say, you see, Christ said, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy things. And what else he says? God resides in every heart. We are of the same essence as that of God, both. So if we love God, naturally we should also love our neighbor all around us. Love to whom? To God, in man, and in all creation. Love man. Animals are also, birds are also there, reptiles are also there, the younger members of the family of God. They are all our neighbors, isn't it? So, he said, you love everyone in God's life. So this is almost all Kabir says the same thing. Whenever they come, they bring the same message. He says, address it to mind. Oh mind, love thy God. Don't miss it, but don't forget it. It is the time of man-body that you got, you see. The main thing is to love God. And this is the golden opportunity which we have got already. If it passes away, then God knows when we will get again this man-body and love God. The time is flying for this person. Don't be led away by the outer enjoyment and possession. So it is love only, you see, which is, should have been contacted with all love within us. It is contacted with the all world around us. We are, God resides in every one of us. But how many we who are residing in God? That we can reside only when we love him. Oh, whether just see whether you are developing love for God or for the world. That is defined to be seen. Better. If you are developing love for God, what would be the result? Man goes where he is attached. If we are developing love for the world, love to only, then we will go where? We come again and again and again. So it is only direction of the love that we have to see. If you can dwell in man body, if you got love for God, then solve it. If not, so God gave us the man body, the highest down creation, whom the angels also bow down, who is considered to be the head of all other family members of God. So whenever they come, they say, well, Guruji says, oh my body, these people address to tell us, show us what we should do. Addressing, he says, oh my body, what have you been doing ever since you got this man body? This is the high time to love God. You, what have you been doing? Have you been doing love for God or for the world? Your death in lies, he says, oh eyes, what have you been doing ever since you got this, the gift of the power of sight? It's God who gave us that sight to our eyes. Then just look to no one except God. If you look to anybody else, look the God in them. You have God's light in them. They are the children of light, children of God. So they say, God is light, leading us to, eyes were given to you, the sight power was made to us, given to you to see God everywhere, out and inside. He says, light in you, the form of light. And outside also it is all manifestation of God, who is love. And also, he is light in everybody, man, animal, bird. Again, we address it to his ear. God has given the power of addition over ears. Hear nothing else but the divine truth, music, which is reverberating in all creation, not the outer something. So they address it himself, one way or the other, to tell us what should we do. Man body was given to us what for? The highest aim is to know God. Have we known God? Have we got love for God? If we have got love for God, have we made any preparation to heaven? What preparation have we done? So Guru Amar Das says, thousands of woe be to you, O man, if you have not, you are not developing love for God. Thousands, not one. Instead, you are developing love for the world, so much so that you are forgetting God altogether. We should have done something, the love of God, we should have forgotten all world. We have done quite a diametrically opposite. In the love of the world, we have forgotten God. This is the angle of universal master always present before us. Just have contact with what is the way to love them. He says, just have contact with the overflowing master who is overflowing with the love of God, and there is no other way. It is not grown in fields, it is not sold at the shops, it is within you but it will be overflown, boosted, if you come in contact with somebody who is orphan in love. That is why it is said, if you spend an hour with the Master, the effect that you have is more than even if you have put in 100 years simultaneously, you could not have. You go to some who sells perfumes, you go to him, if he does not give you anything, you get perfume all free, is it not? By radiation. And if you give one bottle of perfume, then scent love. That is easily a quantum within you, all love. It is something like that. It is something where you put flowers in a room, the whole room is perfumed, is it not? If you enter the room, you will have smell, perfume. So, to develop love, the way to love, to develop love is the company of those who are overflowing with love. And who can be? You know, God in men, God. We have got also love innate in our soul, because we are of the same essence as that of God. But that can be given a boosted way up by some, in the company of somebody who radiates love. And when you go to him, you have the perfume all free, and you will see a little bottle also. To enjoy with her you go, and that what is that? That initiation gives some contact with the world within you. You enjoy whenever you like. So all masters, one is all. You will find the same thing. Tenth Guru, Gobind Singh Sahib. He addresses to all people, look here, all men are alike. The same God whom we worship is called by different names, in different languages. And what he said, he addressing to all communities, he said, hear ye all, I tell you the truth, what? That love is the way back to God. Where from you can get love, you got in it, but later, not dwell. So the only source, way, in which you can dwell your love, have a boost is the company of the saints, who are overflowing with love, really. Only by attendance in the personal aura, or the field of action, or the radiation, you will get free, you will sit quiet, mute, dumb, or receptive. So sometimes silence gives out what you said, something to free up by radiation. This is what is said, one third of the teachings of the Master is given by word of mouth, and two thirds by radiation. To go a master is a lot like you understand one third what he says, but if you dwell receptivity, then you will have two thirds more, which are now we are deprived of if you have got no love or devotion for the master. So love beautifies everything. Further, what they say, the same thing as Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. God resides in every heart. The soul residing in all other bodies also is the same essence as that of God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. So, Tenth Guru also says, look here, God resides in all of you, in all the world. Don't torment them. Because it is God's, and God resides in there. If you do what will happen, you won't suffer. You are tormenting him, you will punish him. So all Master and Parasant, by love, serve one another. To serve others is all right, but by love. Love knows no return, my dear. Love knows giving, and giving and giving. Kabir says, the word they in Punjabi, it means to give. And also it means this man body. He says, so long as you are in the man body, give, give and give. If you give, the more you give, the more you have. They had sent one who served with Solomon, love God, really love God. And this is what I say, what you find in scriptures also, if you, whom you see, you do not love, how can you, whom you do not seek and love him? You see, you love God, you are not in God. But in whom he resides in every heart, you don't hate them, then how can you say you love God? So love knows giving, you see. And who is the best? What is the best player? Samuel Taylor says that he prays best who loveth best. Pray without love, what is all that, you see? It's all barren. The words are all barren. If they are drenched with the water of love, then that will radiate it to God, to all creation. Saint John, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Very clear word. For God is love. So go ahead and say, always think of him, speak of him. Here is his wife in every heart, reverberating in all every heart. The divine music can be absorbed in it. Such a man radiates love. Unknowingly. And the other, diametrically opposite, what we are doing, we are developing love for the world. For the attachments. Result is yours. You do have, in the world of age too, you know when our soul has in it, love in it, in the, our soul. When we are attached with somebody, some, maybe anything, man or something, so long as we are attached with that thing, we identify ourselves with that, our love is within us, you feel love for him? So, all masters tell us, if you love God, don't torment him. So, thank God by name, Freed. He says, if you want to meet God, don't torment anyone, heart of anyone. Not in word, but in deed. The thoughts are very, deed also, in thought also. Thoughts are very potent. If you think an evil of anybody, that will radiate it, the very thought will evoke in him. And you have love for somebody, he need not speak to you, feel radiation. You will die to him. Don't do it. Why many people, you see, are drawn to the Master? Because Master loves them. It is Parvati who loves us. Mother loves the child first, isn't it? So you see, we are the members. Take the example of man body. So many limbs are there. Arms, feet, everything. If any arm or any limb is aching, other arms cannot be addressed. They are also painful. They are restless. And until the other limb which is aching is cured, is it not? So we are all limbs of God, you see? Limbs of God in man too. If one man is suffering, the other must suffer. He cannot be at rest, cannot be at peace. So this is the point which is placed before us by masters who have come. How can we dwell? What love gives us? Love knows suffering and sacrifice. If need be, man is one who had submitted, I think yesterday, day before, is one who is of use to others. If we love God, naturally God resides in every other heart, in all the animals and everybody, we must have good for that. Other man is no man. Otherwise it is like animal who loves the children and himself. So we are the conscious entities. All is our evolution of all consciousness or of all love. So we have, everybody wants to love somebody and to be loved by somebody. So what is the best way in the world to love? We love others. The result is, he gives love in return. Sometimes we are losers, sometimes gainers. So Kabir says, if you love, have a game with God, game of love with God, how will it stand? You won him, he's yours, and you are defeated, you are him. In both ways, you are gainer. Isn't that? So strife, love with God, are the God in man. God we do not see, but God in man we do see. Once it so happened, in the satsang, some man stood up. He said, he was devotee of the master, he said, you want to see God? He stood up. I'll show each one of you. He says, they are wondering what is it? Here stand. He happened to the master sitting there, our master. So though you have that love in them, by Nandalal, a very fond lover of the Guru, the one poem of Hafiz, he says, if you want to meet God, what you should do, go to the, leave all house and home and go to the wilderness. There, remember his love. In return, what Sai Nandalal said, look here, oh Hafiz, where are you going? Here the God standing. Where will you go? So if you take the God with you, always with you, who desires in your hearts, in you when you initiate, why not love him there? So love knows service and sacrifice. This is what I mean. Masters come here to join all in the silken bonds of love. Guru Anjan, you will find what he did. He compiled as many things of the masters as he could lay hands on in one book, which is a scripture called Guru Granth Sahib. Those who are, you know, God manifested, they were sent by God, to guide the child humanity, whether in the east or the west, wherever it is. He compiled all the sayings in one book. Whereas you will find the sayings of one particular master, you always find in their book alone. Is it not finding them in the silken bonds of love all in vain?
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk Master gave in Chicago on October 28, 1972, called The Way to Love. Our reader this morning is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Hello, David.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone. Hazur Maharaj Sawan Singh Ji's birth anniversary was just over 2 weeks ago, so I will begin with the 1962 message for that occasion. Dear ones, on this birthday anniversary of my master, Satguru Baba Sawan Singh Ji, I send you my best wishes for your spiritual progress. We are fortunate in that we have attained the highest rung of creation, the man body, which is the gateway to God. Mind that you have not a soul. You are a soul, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, the life eternal. Regain your dignity. You are bound to mind and the outgoing faculties, so much so that you are identified by the body and have forgotten your own self and the over-self. The body is the temple of God. The body must be kept pure and chaste in order that God may work through it for your own good as well as for the service of humanity. To customs and creeds that were made for thy uplift, you have let thyself become bound. You are enslaved to them and worship them as the be-all and end-all of life. You must make the best use of them only to attain your purpose in life, which is to join the army of God. How can your life be sublime? Set up some ideal before you and work for that with heart and soul. All masters, to name some, Jesus, Buddha, Mahavira, Muhammad, Guru Nanak, Kabir, who came in the past, were great. We revere them. The substantial question arises, are they satisfied with us? They can be if we live up to what they taught. They taught us to return to nature and observe simplicity in all things. They taught us to have love of God first in all our affairs. But we made love of mammon first instead. They taught love, and all things shall be added unto you, for God is love, and love is God, and that God can be attained only through love. Love God, and love all sentient beings. Love knows service and sacrifice. The secret of life, therefore, lies in serving others, helping the poor, feeding the hungry souls, sending sympathy and love to those who stand in need of help and strength. By doing this, yourself will expand to all, and you will give vent to thoughts of the past great masters. Peace be unto all under thy will, the world over, O Lord. Apropos become attuned to the God into expression power and open your inner eye or the single eye to see the light of God inherent in every form, and open the inner ears to hear the eternal voice of God reverberating in all hearts. You will find that others are not apart from thee, but are a part of thee. They are yours and you are theirs. No separation between thyself and the whole creation. You will rise to cosmic consciousness and see that all are brothers in God and all are children of the one eternal who shines in all forms. The mystery of a beautiful life is the love that never dies. I send you all my love and sympathy. My master always enjoined not to think evil of others, even those who hate thee and despise thee. If they do not leave off their hateful habit, why should you leave off your loving habit? If you want to be happy, make others happy. If you want to be blessed, bless others. Those who injure others are injured. Such is the great law. With love, Kirpal Singh. And next I will read chapter 4 from the Wheel of Life. In the scriptural texts, we have an apt story of Raja Prikshat, who had heard that whosoever heard the Bhagavat recited by a pandit became Jivan Mukat, a man freed from all bondage. One day he called his court priest and asked him to recite to him the elevating text of the Bhagavat so that he might escape from the bondage of mind and matter, and commanded that if his recitation did not prove the truth of the sacred teachings, the priest would be put to the gallows. The priest was no better than any one of us. He felt dismayed, for he saw death staring him in the face, as he knew full well that he could not help the king in attaining salvation. When he reached his home, he was downcast and extremely worried over his impending doom. On the eve of the day fixed for the recitation of the Bhagavat, the priest was half dead with fear. Fortunately for him, he had a talented daughter. On her solicitations, he revealed to her the cause of his miserable plight. The daughter consoled him and assured him that she would save him from the gallows if he permitted her to accompany him on the following day to the king's presence. The next day she went to the royal court along with her father. She inquired if the king wanted freedom from bondage of the world, and the king replied in the affirmative. She told the king that she could help him in his much cherished desire if he followed her advice and permitted her to do what she liked. She took the king and her father to the jungle with two stout ropes, and she tightly tied each one of them to a separate tree. She then asked the king to untie and free his priest. The king expressed his helplessness to do so, as he was tied down himself. Thereupon the girl explained to him that one who was himself in the bondage of Maya or illusion could not take another out of the similar bondage. The recitation of the Bhagavat could certainly break the magic shell of delusion if it were done by a freed person who had for himself broken through the delusion. And as such, the king should not expect salvation from his royal priest, who was as much in fetters as the king himself. It is only ne karma, or one not in the cobweb of karmas, who is competent to make others like himself and extricate them from the deadly karmic cycle. This, in a way, also illustrates that mere study of scriptures does not help much in giving moksha or salvation, which is purely a practical theme and can be learned correctly from and perfected by practice under the able guidance of an adept in the line. The Murshid-e-Kamal, or the perfect master, has first of all to piece together the broken tablet of the mind, torn by countless desires and aspirations, and make it into a perfect whole, and then to burnish it clean through and through, so as to make it capable of reflecting the light and glory of God, which no amount of book learning would do. One cannot, of course, know and understand the true import of the scriptures unless the same are explained by some master soul who has himself experienced within the laboratory of his own mind what the scriptures say. Thus, he can, from personal experience of his own, teach and guide the disciple in the highly esoteric teachings contained in terse epigrams which baffle the intellect, limited as it is in its scope and instruments of learning. This is why it is said, God comes handy in the company of a sadh, or a disciplined soul. One who is a freed soul can free another, and none else can. In this context, it is said, the study of the Vedas, the Puranas, and etymology leads to naught. Without the practice of the holy word, one ever remains in utter darkness. A practical man of realization is at once all the scriptures combined, besides something much more than the scriptures, which at best contain the theory side in subtle language, but are incapable of explaining the theory itself by word of mouth, and cannot vouchsafe an actual experience of the same as the master does. Everyone these days tries to put the blame or fault for his ills on the times. And this complaint is the greatest complaint of all times. The present time, as well as the time to come, is no more ours than the time past. This world is a huge magnetic field, and the more we strive to get out of it, the more are we caught and entangled in its meshes. Man dances in the net and thinks that nobody sees him. The wise feel the net, but do not know where to sit easy. Thus, silently and ceaselessly revolves the huge flywheel of the karmic mill, the giant wheel of life, slowly but unmistakably pounding to pieces all alike. This mill of nature grinds all slowly but surely. Some feel and say, it appears that nature made man and then broke the mold. No one, however, tries to peer through the why and wherefore of things, happenings, and events, for we take everything complacently as it comes along the current of time. We do not try to delve deep into them in order to trace out the links of the chain leading up to what we see and experience. Everyone in his dealings with others forgets that he has to pay for everything in this world. Even nature's gifts like space, light, air, etc. are not free to all alike to any appreciable extent. But each man thinks himself the sole custodian of the free gifts of God. He attempts to be as liberal as possible, comes across several ill-set diamonds or men, and is affected by the law of give and take. It is after hard buffeting that we learn that scales make no distinction between gold and lead, but are concerned with the dead weight only. Every man knows that fog cannot be dispelled with a fan, and yet tries to do so, and thereby makes the confusion worse confounded. A person bound hand and foot in the endless chain of cause and effect cannot free others. When everyone in the world is fast asleep, who is there to waken and whom? It is only a freed man who can free others, if he so chooses, for the sins of commission and omission are of the very essence of the law of nature, and sooner or later visit the doer in one form or another. In caging birds and keeping pets collared, chained, and imprisoned, one wrongly takes it for granted that these poor dumb creatures have no court of law where they can lodge their complaint. He thinks that he has a right to deal with them as he pleases. He neither dreads to kill, nor pays any heed to the common truth of as you sow, so shall you reap. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Every wrong has to be avenged. He that slays shall be slain. He who lives by the sword perishes by the sword. One has to pay with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which is as true today as it was in the time of Moses. Mary, no doubt, is the feast-making until comes the dreadful reckoning. We may shut our eyes to the laws of nature, may repose trust in the efficacy of the priestcraft, but it will never do any good. One has to pay a very heavy toll for killing, blood-sucking, and the like. Those who live and thrive on the blood of others cannot have a pure heart, much less access to the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Saints say that man occupies the highest place in God's creation and is endowed with superb intellect and must not therefore pass his limited span of time blindfolded like other creatures. The golden opportunity thus provided of returning and reverting to God's embrace and to his original home should not be lost. Such a sublime opportunity comes only after one has completely seen through the world exhibition and has successfully concluded his part in the grand drama of life. Man is usually lost in the attractions here below. In doing so, he loses the solitary chance given to him under the overbearing influence of karmic reaction after myriads of incarnations, for his return to the abiding region of the pure spirit. He is given one body after another in an endless series. He begins to feel the weight of all kinds of laws, social, physical, natural, which like heavy blocks bar his way at every step. He has no alternative left but to wait for his next turn as man, and who knows when it may come. Saints give a very simple definition of sin as forgetting one's origin or Godhead. Every thought, word, or deed that keeps a man away from God is a veritable sin. And on the other hand, whatever brings man nearer to him is pious and holy. A Persian divine, while self-commenting on the nature of the world, said, "World comes into play only when one forgets the Lord. By constant remembrance of God, one, while living in the world among friends and relations, is yet not of the world. Most of the sins, whether coarse or fine, are purely the invention of man under the sway of the mind. Finer ones are regarded as pardonable weaknesses by saints who are the living and moving images of God's law of love and mercy on this earth. So long as a person acts as a self-willed creature, he subjects himself to all the laws and their rigors. But when he surrenders his self-will to that of a God-man, he comes under the sway of God's mercy and love. This is the true aspect of sin in everyday life. Karmas are the most contagious form of invisible diseases to which a man is ever exposed. They are even more galloping, wasting, and destructive than the deadliest and most poisonous germs transmitted into the innermost cells of the human system and worm their way most surreptitiously into the blood system. In society, karmas take a firm hold, first in the shape of a change in view and thought of the so-called molders of public opinion. Let me repeat that. In society, karmas take a firm hold, first in the shape of a change in view and thought of the so-called molders of public opinion. Then they affect the disposition and temper, and afterwards take deep roots in the shape of habits which become second nature in man. The ancients and the elders were, therefore, always on the alert to advise us to refrain from bad company. A good company breeds goodness, while the bad one breeds ill. A man is certainly known by the company he keeps. To crown all such difficulties, one has to share unwittingly the karmic reactions, even in his own family where he is born and brought up. Thus, virtues and vices play an integral role in the formation of culture. In this way, we daily and hourly contract karmas from our surroundings. The only way to escape the karmic influence is to stick to the path of God through godly saints who, being embedded in the Most High, are far above the reach of karmas and are in fact nekarma and jivanmukat. It is said that in the kingdom of a real darvish or godman, one has not to render account of one's karmas. A person takes a turn for the better when he takes to the company of a sadhu. However, man is naturally prone to accept evil easily rather than the illimitable goodness of saints. The company of a saint has marvelous effect in removing all traces of evil. The atmospheric range of a master saint is a vast immensity which man can hardly imagine. The saints come not for the good of human beings only, but for the benefit of all active and inactive creation in the world at all levels, visible and invisible as well. The poor creature called man has no true friend. Even the mind with the three gunas, or qualities of sattva or purity, rajas or activity, and tamas or inertia, ever working as man's accomplice, looks on him just as a cat casts a restless glance over a rat. Those who follow the dictates of the mind are invariably caught in its wiles and are subjected to untold misery and harrowing terrors. Mind, however, fears those to whom God is kind through his medium, the Satguru, or Godman. Mind dares not intrude on the privileges and rights accorded to his own loved ones, and rather helps them as an obedient assistant does under orders from his superior. Like fire, it is a good servant, but a bad master. In the company of a sadhu, one has nothing to rue. In his company, one knows the Lord and follows him true. In his company, one attains the highest gift of Godhead. This is why Guru Nanak emphatically declared, O Nanak, snap asunder all thy ephemeral ties of the world and go in search of the true ones. While all shall forsake thee in thy lifetime, the true one shall accompany thee even up to the beyond. Again, be sure, O soul, that a God-man shall stand by thee before the judgment seat of God. Baba Farid, a Muslim divine, said in almost the same strain, O Farid, hie in search of a freed man, for such a one would free thee from the bondage of the world. And the ever-restless mind cannot find rest until it rests in some God-man. In Gurbani we have, the wandering wits come to a halt in the company of a sadhu. The stilled mind alone reflects the light of the Lord. Every man is tied physically and mentally in the invisible bonds of karmas. So long as one is under the sway of mind and matter and has not sought the protection of a saint, he is governed by all the laws of the various planes and is meted out justice pure and simple, untempered with mercy. He is liable to punishment for all his sins, unheeded, unnamed, and subtle. A friend in a court of law may be able to curtail the long and torturous legal process, but before the judgment seat of the Most High, a master saint alone is the true friend at the time of trial. Injapji Guru Nanak declares, "The saint is acceptable at his court and is the chief elect therein. The saint adorns the threshold of God and is honored even by kings." And again, Satguru has given me the gift of insight, and I see all doubts dispelled. The angel of death can do unto me no more wrong when the very account of my deeds has been blotted out. The path of the saints leads in quite another direction. There is no court of trial for the initiated ones. The saint is present everywhere, and his sway extends to realms undreamed of. He never leaves nor forsakes his disciples till the end of the world. His solemn assurance is, "Every man, I will go with thee and be thy guide in thy most need to go by thy side." Like a kindly and gracious father, he himself may administer a remonstrance to the erring child, but would never send him to the police for correction. And I will stop here with this reading. I read the 1962 message for the birth anniversary of Hazur Maharaj Sawan Singh Ji, and I followed with Chapter 4 in The Wheel of Life. Thank you, gracious Master.
And thank you, Christine, for reading for us. There were 86 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So always abide what your Master says, the God in him, you see. So whether people admire you or not, don't care for them. So you must abide by the teaching, by the saying, by the orders of the Master to live up to it. Irrespective of the world, and watch you are otherwise.